All my friends know Kyle Draper. First, he's here, then gone like a vapor in Los Angeles today.
Oh, you got bars.
Playing them Lakers. Okay.
Yeah. And word from L.A., we just talked to Aaron Larsoul from the Locked on Lakers podcast. Word from L.A. is that there is a little bit of that old juice. Not as much juice as there used to be, but a little bit of that old Laker Kings rivalry juice percolating around that arena tonight, Kyle.
Yeah, something at stake tonight, right? You know, the standings are heating up. 22 games left to go. Got to win them. And both teams trying to position. And so, yeah, LeBron's still listed as questionable. But, you know, Aaron said, hey, LeBron's playing. And in his estimation, LeBron's going to go. So it's a big one tonight.
Mm-hmm. I think seeing that banner, that in-season tournament banner, is going to fire up the Kings. They're going to look up there. Yeah, we should have. We should
have won
that.
You think they'll be able to see it? They got to squint, actually. They got to get, you know, if you look real close, it's like, I think, like, seriously, I saw it and I didn't know what it was. Like, I thought it was the soccer club, LAFC or something. I'm like, oh, they got that. And then somebody pointed out, no, that's the in-season tournament banner.
Yeah. Okay. Compio says if the Kings won that championship, there'd be a parade and the banner would be encased in glass on a gold throne. I mean, they would have celebrated it. That would have been a play on because this team has high standards, and the bar is high for this team.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you, man. It's I don't know if it'd be a parade or anything like that, but you know, I think the Kings would raise the banner. I really do, because ultimately, it's not about what people on the outside think. It's about raising, you know, your profile inside the, like,
right,
a source of pride, if you will, inside the organization. And so I think the Kings would put one up.
Well, I'm sure they would. One of the things that Aaron said was that the Lakers and Laker fans are keeping an eye on Kevin Huerter tonight, because Kevin Huerter has had some big games down there. Now, he had it the last time they were there. I think he scored 28 points, so I guess Drapes were on Kevin Huerter watch tonight.
Yeah, and the Kings had three guys score 25 or more. Domas, De'Aaron, and Kevin Huerter in that game. And De'Aaron Fox is averaging 32.5 against the Lakers this season. And so it's something about this team or this building that seems to bring the best out of the Kings. And, you know, Aaron was talking about the Lakers really don't have great perimeter defenders either. And so, you know, who's going to stop De'Aaron Fox? So and if De'Aaron Fox is getting downhill, hopefully that's opening up lanes for Kevin Huerter to shoot the rock as well.
Yeah, it is true. The Kings are not the only team with defensive issues this year. And, I mean, you've seen D'Angelo Russell. I mean, he's really a poor defender. He just really – Sometimes he tries, sometimes he doesn't, and it really doesn't matter. It makes no difference when he tries. So, yeah, De'Aaron Fox has an opportunity tonight.
Yeah, and you know, when you look at this Lakers team, they're an elite shooting team, though, in terms of their efficiency. They're 12th in terms of three-point, but they're third in the NBA in overall shooting. And so I think it's two teams that, you know, should be able to get what they want offensively out here. Just who's going to be the better offensive team? Like, will AD show up and have an impact? Will Kevin Huerter have a big game? You know, I think it comes down not who plays the best defense. I think on a night like tonight, it's which offense can get what they want the easiest and the best out here.
A lot of people this year, and especially in the last few days, have been very critical of Coach Brown. We've talked a lot about that. And now the Kings are kind of at a crossroads, it would appear. You know, they're still in position to make this a very memorable season. What do you think are the challenges from here for Coach Brown the rest of this season? Does Coach Brown have – I know his coach of the year last year. Does he have anything to prove with this team the rest of this year?
Nah, I don't think so, because what's going to happen? The Kings are going to get into the play-in, and I think ultimately play-in or playoffs. Like, if it's not playoffs, it'll definitely be play-in. I think ultimately, if you're Mike Brown, you know, how do you get this team motivated night in and night out? How do you get this team breathing fire? And regular season is one thing, but if you're in the play-in and you beat the Lakers or beat the Warriors and advance to the playoffs, I mean, as a Kings fan, you're in the playoffs. Like, that's what we expected. I think, you know, when we looked at expectations for this team and were they too high to begin with? Like, you know, we had Aaron on, we had Hunter on as well. They brought back the same squad. Mm-hmm. Do we put too much high expectations on them? Because ultimately, they'll win 45, 46, 47 games. And almost like last year, it's just the standings that'll be different. And so I could argue the Kings, even with 47 wins, that was a good season. And how tough this West is, you didn't do anything. You didn't upgrade the roster. Phoenix got Bradley Beal. You know, Clippers got James Harden. You look at all the moves these other teams made, and yet you still finish with the same win total or close to it. I don't think that's anything to hang your head on.
No, and I also think it's something where you could look and say, wow, Coach Brown must have done a pretty good job.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. And here's the thing, too, Whitey. And we keep bringing – I always bring up the Miami Heat. Now – was the heat on Eric Spoelstra last year? Were fans down on the team? And then what happened? They went on the run. Why can't this Kings team go on the run? I mentioned, to me, it's about the matchup in the first round. Two teams I don't want to see. I don't want to see the Clippers in the first round, and I don't want to see the Nuggets. And I know we beat Denver 3 out of 4, but they weren't healthy in the 3 wins, and they're champion. But anybody else? Minnesota? OKC? Phoenix even, I think we got a shot. I'm not saying we would win, but I think we got a shot. And so all this negativity about this season, I get it. You can only react to the games that have been played. But if this team goes on the run in the playoffs, all that negativity was for nothing. And so that's why I'm not riding the roller coaster as much anymore. Trust me, I get disappointed in losses.
Oh,
but
we saw you. We saw you Monday night on the postgame.
I know ultimately, this team should be judged by the postseason, really.
Yeah,
I think that's where
fair.
We're at the point. Like, mm-hmm. This is not a regular season team. We've proven we can make the playoffs. I need to see some activity and some advancement in the playoffs. That's what I want to see the most.
Speaking of the Western teams and what they may end up doing, I mentioned this earlier. Jamal Crawford says Phoenix is a team that is set up to do well in the postseason. Shaq's team is, he says, Denver still. He says they're not going to lose a 7-game series. Kendrick Perkins, your buddy, says New Orleans is a sleeper. And your other buddy, Chris Mannix, he just wrote a piece about how he thinks OKC is positioned to go deep into the playoffs. So we'll see. All that said, Mike Brown is in position to do something only one other coach has ever done, which is get the Sacramento Kings into the postseason 2 years in a row. Coach Adelman's the only guy who's ever done that. He's the only guy who's ever done it. So let's not, overlook that. I think, to me, the big challenge for Mike Brown the rest of the way, aside from the X's and O's and things that, that obviously he knows a lot more about than I do, but I think it's a matter of holding this team together, making sure that, because they just had a team meeting, and then they had a great win, and then they had another one of those, what happened? So I'm not saying it's a coach's fault if this team comes apart, but there are signs already that people are starting to wonder, hey, what's going on here? So to me, overall, that's his biggest challenge, is keeping this team together and focused so that they can get to a point where at the end of the year we can all say, hey, you know what? We can feel good about that.
Yeah, and I think when you look at this Kings team right now, because of the team meeting, because of the loss the other day to the Bulls, it's kind of fragile, right? And so if you're Mike Brown, you got to keep it together, like you were just saying. This could, I don't want to say spiral, but, you're in the thick of things right now. You can't let a loss or a two pile up and go on a 4-game losing streak. Now is not the time. So you got to keep these guys engaged, keep them together, and keep them positive. And so I think that's his main job over these last 22 games is, let's stay connected, keep competing, and let the wins and losses fall where they may, but don't give them away. Don't pile up the losses. So I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. And the challenge of that is figuring out the best way to make sure you get your message across without the team tuning out. After the last game against the Bulls, somebody, and it might have been Brendan, I forget exactly who it was, but somebody asked Mike in the post game, what'd you think of the defense? And we had the clip yesterday. It's incredible, Kyle, because he was trying, Coach Brown was trying so hard, you could tell, not to tell you what he really thought. It was like, what did you think of the defense? How was the defense? He said, okay. You know, it's trying so hard not to say, right. This got into that. And he said, okay. At times, we've just got to be better and more consistent, which is kind of the buzzword for all of them. Sometimes we just got to get down in guarding position and guard our man. So it speaks to the challenges he faces, which is, I know what the problem is. I can't just keep harping on the same thing, same thing, right. Same thing. We've got some issues. How do I get my team to play the best defense it can? What do you think of this? I don't know if you heard this, Kyle, because you were doing your postgame stuff. Here was Mike Brown. Don't you think in here after the game, he's really trying hard to hold back and not tell us exactly what he's thinking?
Okay. We gotta sit down and guard, especially, if it's not one of their primary guys. And then, DeRozan, anytime he caught on the post, we doubled him tonight. And then we started hitting him, I think, in the fourth quarter in his ISO situations, and tried to get the ball out of his hands a couple of times. And other guys made plays for him. Kobe ended up with 37 because of us doubling, and now the ball's getting swung and we're getting to him. And he's a really good shooter, a high-level shooter, and he's knocking down the right shots. But there was a stretch there that he and Io, the Sunimo, they just took us off the dribble. And, it's tough when you think you got to, double or hit those two guys. So we have to do a better job of trying to contain, other guys besides team's main players, so that we're not running around and double teaming everybody throughout the entire ball game.
Mm. Didn't you think that he's really holding back there?
Yeah, I don't know about you, but to me it sounded like, and I got to go back and look at the tape to figure out who he's talking about, because he made it a point. It wasn't about the main guys. It's like, if we can't even guard the second or third or fourth options,
right?
And I'd have to look at who was defending those guys. And so he bit his tongue. You're right about that.
Yeah.
But he let a little bit slip out there. And what he saw is one thing to be getting beat by DeMar DeRozan, but you get beat by Io DeSumo and some of these other guys. It's like, come on now.
Yeah. So it just speaks to, I think, his biggest challenge, which is holding this team together at the defensive end when there obviously are shortcomings, and there was no reinforcement. He and the team probably will hope there would be. There's not. So the problem is there, and it's how do you deal with it now? There's no fixing it. It's just a matter of kind of managing it the rest of the way.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's too late, right? Like, we're too late, too far into the season. And so you got to sort of make the best out of what you have kind of situation. We talk about the defense, and, you just got to keep preaching the message, really. Mm-hmm. That, like you said, there's no reinforcements on the way. There's no trade to be made or anything like that. And so you just got to keep harping on your guys and hope that it clicks and hope for the best. It's I got to imagine this has been a frustrating season for Mike.
Yeah.
Because he came in all gung-ho, talking about defense, preaching it, and we haven't seen the results. It's like he's been banging his head against the wall trying to get these guys to improve defensively. And at this late date, like, you pretty much have tried everything, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. you just got to keep delivering the message and hope on any given night it clicks for them.
Meanwhile, an all-time Kings favorite is planning a comeback. Is he a Drapes guy? That we don't know about that, but we know he's planning a comeback. We'll share that with you when we come back. Drive Guys, Sactown Sports. Not only do we have the smartest listeners in radio, we have, I think, the kindest. And Drapes, the level of concern that people have for you and your wallet situation.
Oh, these my people out there. Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's just beautiful. We had your guy Ryan Williams art earlier on the chat. He says, I'm bringing Drapes a Kirkland wallet on Sunday. Two birds with one stone. And then Compio says, Ryan, I couldn't find a Kirkland wallet on the website. And then Ryan says, I'm just getting a plain Velcro wallet and writing Kirkland on it with a Sharpie. That's good enough. It's beautiful.
A copy of Wilson Leather Goods is good for wallets also. I, you know what? I have not replaced my wallet yet either. So if somebody wants to bring, you know, hook your boy up with a wallet, hey, I'll tell you, Whitey, I'm not against free stuff. The
a
more
Kirkland?
Free stuff, the better.
Are you
look,
good
man,
with the Kirkland?
Now, hey, man, I'm good with a rubber band, Jay.
That
you know, give
okay.
me a rubber band, you know. And so what's interesting, I got my passport, and people on YouTube can see this. I got my passport and my bank card in my hand right here. Like,
show that bank card up again so we can get those numbers.
Ain't no money in there. Trust me on that. So So they're just rolling around in my pocket.
They're free flowing.
Right now. Yeah. They just
well, that's
out there
safe.
Free flowing yeah. out there in my pocket.
And so we wonder why he's losing things.
I have not had time to go buy a wallet.
Get him a rubber. So. Where's a rubber band right now? You can't ask none of those engineers behind you for a rubber band.
Let me see. Hey, anybody got a rubber band?
A gold envelope? Anything?
Nah, these union guys, that's not part of their job, bro. They ain't even listening to me, man. You know, in L.A., everything's unionized out here. So.
Yeah. Aren't there
hotel room key?
Isn't it kind of a trend now where some people, they just don't even have wallets at all?
Some people keep it on the back of their phone.
Yeah,
you know, those little things. Uh-huh. I don't know, man. I'm paranoid. Like,
you, like... Drapes, you can't see because I don't have no camera on me, but Whitey, you can see. I don't have a wallet. I guess it's kind of like a wallet, but it's metal, and it's like a card holder, and you push a button, and the cards kind of pop up and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You don't have money in there, though, right?
No. I'm like Drapes. I keep my money in my pocket.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about this story. It's not my first time losing my wallet. This is years ago. I'm in New York City. There for work, hustling, grinding like I usually do. I'm in the back of a cab, and I hop out because I'm in a rush, and sure enough, I left my wallet in the taxi cab. I'm like, my God. And, you know, New York got cabs everywhere. I don't even know which cab I was in or anything.
Wow.
So I called a cab company, and they're like, which one were you? I'm like, I don't know. 2 hours go by, 3 hours. And this is when I worked in Louisville. But we were in New York covering the Big East tournament. I get a call from my guy back in Louisville. He's like, Drapes, did you lose your wallet in New York? I was like, yo, how did you know? He's like, because the cab driver just called me. I had my guy's business card in my wallet.
Oh.
He called my friend in Louisville, and then my guy in Louisville called me. And eventually I hooked up with the cab driver, and he brought it back. How strange is that? So that's why I carry a wallet, and usually I have, like, a card in there or somebody's card or something just in case somebody recovers it and calls, but not this time.
So this is not a new problem for you?
I'm pretty bad, yeah. Huh. I tell you, man, I fly by the seat of my pants. You know, Whitey, show starts at 2 o'clock. I'm sitting down in the seat at 159.59, you know?
Yeah,
it's
okay.
I got to get myself together, man. So,
You know, he's getting himself together, signing with the G League in an attempt to come back to the NBA. Drapes guy or not. Isaiah Thomas. How about that?
I'm happy for him, man. Like, and I don't know. We're going to try to get him on the show. Hopefully he's not mad at me from our days in Boston, because I felt like I always treated him right. You know, that was my guy. And I've maintained what they did to him in Boston ruined his career. Was criminal. He had a torn labrum in his hip, and instead of getting the surgery and getting it taken care of, they let him continue to play on it, and then it got worse, and then he hasn't been the same since. As a matter of fact, Whitey, if I'm correct, and I'll have to check the dates, after that season, they fired their medical staff.
Really?
And brought in a whole new medical staff. So I would love to get Isaiah Thomas on the show, Jay Johnson, because that's my guy, and I support him. Because I understand. It's like I had a torn labrum in my hip, and instead of getting the surgery, the doc's like, well, you can continue on, but I'm not a finely tuned athlete like him.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Like, he played through it. He gave it all to his team. The injury happened in March, I believe, and he played deep into the playoffs and then was never the same since.
By the way, High Flyer just sat down. And just so you know, High Flyer, you are on YouTube right now, which is fine, but just so you know.
High Flyer. What are you doing, man? High Flyer.
Yeah, yeah.
You get your hour and a half, however long your show is.
He doesn't even have his headset on yet. He's just sitting here watching TV.
Me.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Drapes are taking shots at you. Here we go. Yeah, here he comes. Are you going to make a G League comeback too, High Flyer, like Isaiah Thomas is?
I tell you what, depending upon what they're paying, I surely will. I go on a diet for like about a month and get ready.
Man, hey, High Flyer, you here early, bro. Let me ask you this. What's up with these late start times in L.A.? 7:30 tonight, tip-off.
Bro, you do know you in Hollywood, right?
And everybody, I'm trying to be in bed by 10.
Everybody late in Hollywood.
Like, seriously, we got a full four-hour show tonight because the Lakers want to start at 7:30. I'm like, man.
You know what? Hey, they always own some different stuff down in L.A.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Always.
What was it like the first time you played down there against the Lakers?
Oh, wow. I mean, you got to think. That was back when they had the three-ring circus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they it was Magic, Kareem, Worthy, Byron Scott.
Uh-huh.
You know, that was the Showtime Lakers.
Yeah. Boy.
Back when the Forum Club was kicking.
I was just getting ready to ask, have you ever visited the Forum Club there, HT?
Come on,
be
man.
Honest, High Flyer. Be honest.
Just yes or no, and hey, that's all you got to say.
I'm going to call it the 100, man. You know I am. Yo, I was in there the third quarter, dog. I'm sitting on the bench, but I'm up in the Forum Club in the third quarter.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, High Flyer, and here's the thing about L.A., man. Like, you know, I came from Boston, East Coast, they're like, man, them Laker fans, they don't even care about what's happening in the game. They all about looking at in the stands and seeing who the celebrities. And I tell you what, so am I, big fella. Yeah. When I see Denzel walk by, Richard Guerra, whoever it may be, my head's on a swivel also. And so when you come to Lakers games, there's like a game within a game.
It's
just happening on the floor, but also you got to be seen as well. And so I respect that, man.
Hey, I tell you what, the first time I passed and I seen Jack Nicholson, when I seen Captain Jack, and
you were in the game or just like in warm-ups?
Yes.
Like I'm running up and down the floor?
No. In warm-ups.
Yeah. Okay.
When I first seen him in warm-ups, I'm like, that's Jack Nicholson. I mean, it's like, bro, they don't get no bigger than Jack. And then, you know, you keep going. All of a sudden, you know, you see Diane Keaton over there.
Yeah.
And like, wow. You know, I mean, you see some of everybody at these games.
And you're just trying to act like you're just doing your thing, right?
And then you try to act like it's nothing. It's nothing. And then here's one that'll get you, Katie. I know this will get you.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you drive baseline, dog, and you go on the baseline, you see Whitney Houston sitting there.
Come on, man. Come on.
You know what? I'm done. I'm done.
Shoot, I'm trying to show out.
Hey, no. I don't care no more about the game.
When we come right back, which line will be more important tonight, the three-point line or the foul line? The High Flyer is here, and we're getting ready for the Kings and the Lakers. So Kyle Draper's in Los Angeles getting ready for the Lakers and the Kings. The High Flyer's getting ready for game night, so he is nice enough to hang out with us. Jay over there.
I'm in the back seat, baby. Yeah. I'm in the back seat. I'm with the drive, guys.
Are you feeling any, even a little bit of the old Lakers-Kings juice tonight? Even just a little?
No.
Really?
All that's been
gone. It's a big game.
All that's been gone. Because you know what?
Really?
Let me tell you, KD, all that's been gone. Because you know why? I had a chance to ask a lot of people that was in the Lakers organization after the 2002-2003 rivalry was going on. When that was going on, yes, it was definitely a rivalry. Big time. Yeah. Big time.
Mm-hmm.
But after that was over and you asked somebody in 2010, 2020, it was like, Sacramento who?
Yeah.
Their organization was way past that. It was just that Sacramento was stuck in that era. And that was our heyday. And that was when we had it good. So they definitely couldn't jump into 2012 and 13 because we ain't had nothing in 16 years.
Right. But, you know, it's like I'll go ahead and compare Lakers and Kings to Lakers Celtics. It was like it was red hot. Then it was dormant for a while. Then it's red hot. Then it's dormant. You know, because you had Bird, Magic, and then later you had Kobe and his team. So I'm hoping that maybe now.
But you had good Celtics teams, too.
No, I know.
Yeah.
You're right. That's my hope is that the Kings now, if they're going to, you know, consistently be a legitimate team, then maybe we get a little bit of it. And the thing is tonight, it's a meaningful game. So that's why some of us feeling a little bit of it. And maybe I'm just projecting it. Maybe it's not there. I just want it to be there.
I will say this, though, and you know, and I'm pretty sure KD is going to ride with me on this. The rivalry is more so right down the street.
And no question.
And see, and we got to win that rivalry before we can go to the next one with the Lakers.
Uh-huh.
The Golden State thing is for real.
Yes.
And when the Kings knock that off, then they can look at LA and say, okay, you know what? Y'all next.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I agree. Like, when you look at – if you ask a Lakers fan who their rivals are, Kings aren't registered.
No, I know that. I know.
You know, it's that, like, for the Lakers, their rivals, the Celtics, Warriors, Clippers, you know. And so to High Flyers' point, that I don't know if we register as much on their radar anymore. Mm-hmm.
We do a little bit right now. I agree with you guys. I'm not arguing with you. But just the fact that right now – the Lakers are behind the Kings, and we play twice here in the next week, right? Tonight and then next Wednesday, isn't it? So,
yeah, Wednesday,
there's a little juice to these games because matter what Laker fans think of us, these are big games against the Kings for the Lakers.
Right, for us, yes, they're big games. But I'll tell you what, I just got off the phone with some of my friends in L.A. I talked to them all the way up here.
I understand that.
And
I know.
And they're like this. Who are we playing tonight? Yeah. I'm like, we playing y'all, fool. Okay, well, that should be a win then, huh?
That's terrible. Yeah. That's terrible.
I understand that.
No, but I'm saying Sacramento, if you ask a Laker fan, Sacramento don't ring the bell for them. It really doesn't. But for us.
I know.
But for us, L.A. rings a bell because of what we went through.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. It's a big game, though, tonight. I mean, you know, it may not be 2002 or anything like that, but, you know, this is a massive game. And why do you mention it earlier? Somebody said that it's a must-win for the Lakers or a bigger game for the Lakers.
Yeah.
I agree, because if you're the Lakers, you get this win, now you start turning the screws up on a number of teams. Dallas, Sacramento. You know, they hear the footsteps now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why the Kings got to get this win tonight.
You know what? Can I say this? Because I listened to you guys when you guys first came on. I was on my lunch break. Mm-hmm. And I will say this, Katie. You brought up a good point. You brought up a point to where, you know, Golden State and the Lakers, they have really ramped it up. They've been winning basketball games. And you said, okay, when is the Sacramento Kings – going to hit this click? We got what, 20 games left? Less than 20? 20? Something like that?
Yeah.
When is the Kings going to hit their stride and go on this, okay, we're going to win 8-9 of our last 12 or something like that? Because even though what they've done so far, if they can hit a groove like that, let's say the last 15 games, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they can go 12 for that last 15, they're rolling.
Yeah.
They're rolling. They will be right where they need to be. But right now, we're winning one, losing one.
Yeah.
Winning two, losing
one.
It's
hard to imagine.
Losing two, winning one.
Four in a row sounds like, well, I don't know about this team.
Right. You know, they're going to have to hit that stride, man, because right now, nobody's giving up games. Everybody is ramping up.
What do you think is the most important thing they need to do to be in that position?
Consistent play is huge for this team. I mean, I've been so dumbfounded at watching this basketball team. We went up 20 twice on the Chicago Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
The first time, I'm like, okay, good, fellas, y'all playing great basketball. Chicago made a run. That's basketball, especially in the NBA. 20-point lead is nothing. When the Sacramento Kings went up 20 that second time, I'm like, oh, they bringing this home.
Right.
They finally did learn how to close out a game. And all of a sudden, the offense – and I hate, you know, the first thing that we have to talk about with this basketball team every time is the offense. You know, y'all would love to say, well, it was the defense. No. We know what our defense is.
Yep.
Mm. And it's very nil.
Right.
So you really can't point the finger there. If the Kings still knocks down shots, we win that basketball game. But all of a sudden, they went stale. We couldn't guard nobody, and we couldn't score. That was the recipe for destruction.
Yeah, then leads tend to evaporate when you're not getting stops.
And they are.
Yeah.
And they are. Yeah. So we couldn't hit a shot. And then this is another thing that we are very much guilty of. And it just
– fans?
It burns me up every time I watch it.
Yeah.
We'll get a turnover, and we get out in the fast break. And it might be a 3-on-1 or a 3-on-2 – And the first thing we do is flare to the corners for a three-point shot.
But that's everybody high fire. Don't attack my guys just because of that. That's everybody, big fella.
Hey, wait a minute. You go back and you watch that Chicago game. No, they didn't. When every time Chicago got that ball, they drove it straight to the basket and they attacked the rim for a high percentage shot.
Isn't that one of the areas where the Kings can be better offensively is if they convert more of those opportunities into points, easy baskets, getting out in transition? When you have De'Aaron Fox and you're number one in the league in defensive rebounding percentage, shouldn't they be able to take advantage of that and score more fast break points?
They should be, but that's a part of the maturation of these guys' basketball IQ and understanding time, pace, and scoring. All right, if you got a 3-on-1, you got a De'Aaron Fox, you got a Kevin Huerter, but you got a Keegan Murray on the other side, Kevin, you flare to the corner, Keegan, you better go up for the lob. That gives me a 1 or 2. That gives me a yin to my yang. But if De'Aaron Fox comes down, Kevin Huerter flares to the corner, all of a sudden Keegan Murray goes to the corner, that one man, all he has to do is guard De'Aaron, stop him from going to the basket, and you're going to get a three-point shot with somebody trailing.
Wide open three, though, high flyer.
It's not
like that. That's a philosophy situation. Then
you know you're right. If you
that's coaching right there.
Hey, if you hit it, you're good. But if you don't hit it, you're killing yourself.
Are the Kings relying on the three too much? We were talking about that the last 2 days.
That's the way they play. But for my taste, way too much. But that's the way they play. Because the thing about it is, we've seen this team up and we've seen this team down. When they knocking down threes, boys, it's the best game you ever want to see. But when they're not knocking down threes, see, that's why KD line is a little short right there, because he's been pulling at it. It makes you want to pull your hair out when they ain't knocking down those threes.
High flyer. That's you know what? And I respect you. I respect your basketball, but it's a new day and age, big fella. These guys are about getting up as many threes as possible.
Yes.
That's what the analytics are talking about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm with it.
It's just a new day. I get it. Hey, when it's not knocking down, but we don't have – and this is something we talked about earlier, Whitey. We don't have guys that can get downhill. And I also argue, high flyer, when the offense goes sideways, it's on your star player to put his head down and get to the basket.
Yeah.
Do we need to see more of that from De'Aaron?
Pardon me. We'll give you a chance to respond when we come right back and wrap things up here. It's a drive, guys. We got the high flyer in the back seat as we get ready for the Lakers and the Kings on Sactown Sport. We have bad news, good news, depending on how you look at it. Andrew Lopez, ESPN, reporting that tomorrow night the Kings taking on the Spurs, and Victor Wembanyama is out for that game.
Man.
Right ankle sprain. Thank you, Jay. So no Wemby for that Kings game tomorrow. So, Jay, this means the Kings are in tomorrow, right?
Maybe I shouldn't answer. I'll let Drapes go ahead and jump in there, because Kings fans might not like my answer.
No, this is a chance for the Kings to prove that they've exercised their demons.
Yeah.
Taking on shorthanded teams.
Yeah.
So I definitely think my boys will be ready tomorrow.
Yeah, that's too bad, though. But Drapes, I know we're talking about three-pointers. We got the high flyer here. Just as far as tonight goes, which is more important tonight, the three-point line or the foul line, where, you know, the Lakers at times, they live at the foul line and they score a lot of points at the foul line. Which line's more important tonight in this game?
Oh, you asking me? I would say three-pointers.
Uh-huh.
I think the Kings have to hit threes. I'm looking at 17 threes tonight. At least, I think this should be a three-point barrage for Sacramento, because this Lakers team is not that good defensively. You know, when you look at the numbers, Lakers defensively 21st in the league in defending the three. And so I think those opportunities will be there. Their three-point shot will be there for Sacramento tonight.
How about you, High Flyer?
You know, you said the three-point shot or the free throw line.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, who free throw line you talking about? There's all.
That's a good question.
Both.
Right?
Yeah. All of them. Yeah.
No, but I'm kind of agreeing. I'm in the same agreeance with KD. For us, three-point shot is everything. Mm. The Sacramento Kings live and die by the three. We were just arguing that. We know that. It's not even a question. If they're knocking down threes, they're a whole different ball team. You know, when the Kings are shooting the ball well from the three-point line, they can play with the best in this league. We've seen them play with the best, and we've seen where they can't knock, you know, throw a ball in the ocean, and we lose to undermanned teams like Detroit.
You know this very well. There was a time when teams, well, if you said about a team, oh, they're a jump shooting team, that was an insult. It meant that they're soft. Are the Kings a jump shooting team?
Is that a question?
Is everybody now? Is everybody a jump shooting team?
You see Sabonis is shooting threes.
Uh-huh.
And he the hardest guy we got.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, they are a jump shooting team. And, you know, and it's nothing wrong with having a jump shooting team because Golden State was a jump shooting team when they had their dynasty. The thing about it
they kind of changed the perception of that.
They had two Bulls on their team. Well, Draymond was still shooting threes, but we know what he does. Bogut held him down on the inside.
Mm.
So, but, you know, this is where we are right now. The NBA is a jump shooting league.
Yes.
You have to be able to shoot the three. Dirk Nowitzki started all of that when he came in here as a stretch four. It just killed the inside game. All right? Now we got fives that are stepping outside. Karl Anthony Towns is one of the best three-point shooting guys in the league, and he's a legitimate five.
You don't like that, do you?
He sounds angry, right?
No, he's not at Karl Anthony Towns, but just at this
big
trend.
Men hanging outside. Yeah.
We were talking to Winnington. You were there. We were talking. Winnington said, I don't even like thinking about it.
It changes the game.
Yeah.
It definitely changes the game. And really, it changes the game to where the league wanted it. Because think about it. Back in our day, you had games that ended in like 80s and the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
But when you got everybody shooting threes and the floor is spread, all you got to do is beat your man. You blow past your – I wish I could have played in today's game because I had one of the quickest first steps around in a 44-inch vertical.
And everything would have been spread open for
Bro,
you know?
I'm beating my man for sure. For sure. I mean, that was my thing, KD. I know I can beat my man.
Uh-huh.
But when I played in the league, I had to go – by the time I beat my man, it was 2 7-footers down there waiting on you.
Yeah.
So you had to do something different.
It's different.
Can you imagine if I had the ball now and I beat my guy and it ain't nobody at the rim? Oh, it's over with, man. So it's a wrap.
High fire. Hey, let me ask you guys this, though. Because you brought up the Wimby not playing tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so my son, he was going to go to the game tomorrow, got his Wimby jersey, was going to try to get it signed. Well, so he's super bummed right now. Now, these are two separate things I'm asking you here, or you're talking about. I just went out to the concession stand during one of our breaks, and I'm like, oh, that's a nice LeBron jersey. That's a nice Kobe jersey as well. I'm like, I should get my son a Kobe jersey. What's too much, too expensive to pay for a jersey? What's the cutoff for a Kobe jersey?
A Kobe jersey?
It's different levels, right? High five?
Yeah, buddy.
A Kobe jersey is a little – I was shocked at how much it was.
Do they have all the different numbers and all the different jerseys? I mean, different colors and different numbers for Kobe?
They had the Minneapolis 8 I was going to get. I think they had a black one, too. I can't remember. But I was thinking about it until dude told me the price. So I want to see what you guys are willing to pay for a jersey.
I'm out.
Hey KD.
Unless there's a Kirkland brand, I'm out.
Hey, he funny. He said Kirkland. I'm with that.
Right?
Hey. I'll say this. I've only wore two other jerseys besides mine. That's New Jersey Nets, Julius Erving, and George Gervin, San Antonio Spurs.
Yep.
Iceman.
The Iceman. Those are the only two jerseys I've ever worn.
I thought Kobe was going to be one of them. Okay.
I tell you what. I would buy a Kobe Bryant number 8 and wear it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, real quick, though.
But how much you paying for it?
Yeah.
That's for your son, your kid.
No, no, no.
This
I'm talking about
for me.
No, I'm talking about for me.
But you would wear that? Okay.
Hey,
okay.
My kid going to get the Kirkland version. hey, he going to get
maybe
some.
Maybe I could buy it for me then.
Hey, my kid going to get some old Roy.
The dog food.
He going to get some old Roy.
That's like the knockoff milk bone.
Yeah.
Right.
But for me, though, a Kobe jersey, KD, I'm getting it, man.
Okay,
I don't care.
Real quick, though, Draves, before you answer that, is that, and God rest his soul, would you have wore a Kobe jersey before he left us?
Who, me?
Yes.
No, I won't. Listen. Yeah, I would have wore 8. I won't wear 24. I'm not down with 24.
I got you.
I love KB8. Couldn't get no better.
Uh-huh.
KB8's my dude.
Yeah.
I wouldn't wear 24.
Yeah.
And really?
No.
Yeah.
No. I wouldn't wear a Jordan jersey.
I couldn't
That's
wear a Lakers
used
jersey.
Used to bust your butt.
Yeah, I
exactly.
wear like
it's personal, KD. You're right. It's personal.
Jerry used to give you that business, bro.
Yeah.
I, so, I wouldn't wear a Laker jersey. I'm with Jay. But, I mean, I wouldn't mind.
No, you would, Whitey. Don't even try it. You'd wear a Magic Johnson jersey.
Ooh, that's tough. If I wore one, it would be Magic, but I wouldn't wear a Laker jersey now. Okay. That would be, yeah, okay. Not anymore. Yeah.
But I wonder, can I buy this for my son or no?
Well, what's the ticket on it, man? I mean, yeah, it's probably $1.50 in there. What's,
you in LA, too.
$1.80?
Keep going.
Oh,
the Kobe's probably like $2.50.
Keep going.
Oh,
too well,
$300
for the Kobe.
I was like, I said,
no.
Ooh,
no,
too much.
Hey, you lost your wallet, man. You ain't got no coin.
KD, Junior going to have to show us the report card before you get that, bro.
That one gift for the year, bro. I'll buy it and save it for Christmas.
He got to show us the report card before you get that. Right.
Three words, too. Fanatics.com. I mean, you're not going to spend $300 online for a really nice version of that. You probably have more options, too.
Yeah,
right?
But Kobe, I don't know, Kobe, man, those things are hard, right, I feel like. And I'm actually a jersey snob, fellas.
Really?
Like, it got to be authentic. It got to be from the arena.
I'm with you.
It can't be from Dick's Sporting Goods.
No.
Like, it got to be, you know what I mean, high fly?
Yeah. You can't. You got to have a two-ply jersey. You can't have a one-ply.
Right. That's true. I'm a jersey snob, man. That's funny.
Oh, I'm with you, bro.
Good luck with that, Kyle. Have a great call tonight. Thanks. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, down.
Yeah. And we got we've got game night next. Who you with, Scotty?
Yeah, Scooter.
Yeah. Scott Marsh and the High Flyer. He's on a roll already next year on Sacktown Sports.